CliffCentral.com.
It's Yazoo with Only You. Such a great song. Just, I do not get tired of it. Wow. We're at Wednesday in the last week of level 5 lockdown. Friday, supposedly, we get a little bit of our freedom back. You know, for example, you will be allowed to do a couple of cool things that involve you leaving your house, but not nearly enough. And don't forget, there's a curfew, just like in the good old days of apartheid, where you better have your dompas on you because they're going to stop you. And if you're traveling around at 8 o'clock, you know the police, the Gestapo, are going to stop you in the streets and probably brandish some kind of weapon in your face and abuse you verbally. And then if you're lucky, you won't be arrested, but possibly you will. I mean, this is bizarre. If you told me anywhere in the last 20 years, even at the worst moment in the Zuma administration, like when he appointed Des van Rooyen, and you said to me, there's going to be a time in South Africa's future where we will have a curfew and the entire population will be kept in their houses and the police will be patrolling the streets and arresting you if you are out in the streets, I would have said to you, oh, for God's sake, will you grow up?
But would you have had, as a caveat to that, because of a global virus outbreak?
Doesn't matter.
Or was it just out of context that you get that information?
Doesn't matter. If you ever heard that. I mean, that.
If you said just that, it would be more shocking than if you ended with, because of a global virus outbreak that this is being done in many other countries. It's a different context. But on the topic of the newly relaxed rules, those of you in and around the Douglasdale area can look forward to the timeless comedy classic of seeing a fat oak on a bicycle, because I am going to be sitting at whatever time whatever official time I'm allowed, going to be at the gate of the complex with a big fuck you to Gavin from the body corporate, because I don't need your damn permission, and I'm a cycle out of this bitch like a bat out of hell, like a slow, fat, injured bat out of hell.
Jeez. Well, that's good, Gord. So you're allowed to – that's one big plus for people, is that they can exercise. It's very frustrating for people who've been cooped up, and I'm not one of the – I'm not a cyclist and I'm not a runner.
You're a cyclist or a cyclist hobbyist. There's a difference between a 4 a.m. make you feel bad because you did drugs, shrink wrapped Poloni cyclist, and a oak on a mountain bike just trying to get a few laps around the neighborhood.
I don't really differentiate. But Bulelo, you run, so are you looking forward to this being a possibility for you?
It's nice to be able to run 15 kilometers. It's all good while running upstairs, you know, but it's tough to get. Like that feeling of consistency and just getting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gareth, so that's going to be cool.
Sia, you don't care, Sia.
No, please, no. Let's not even try to fake it. You use the word supposedly for Friday. Why do you have doubts?
Well, no, I just think that these rules are all very sketchy and capricious. I've said so from the beginning. I mean, there's an interesting article published by Duncan MacLeod on
of the Clan MacLeod. He can't die.
Not him. No. On Tech Central, he wrote about how Ibrahim Patel, who's one of our ministers, God knows which one because we have so many, he's still not giving the go-ahead for e-commerce. So you can still not buy stuff on Takealot, which is just ridiculous to
me. My little startup business is an online business and requires digital printing and online shopping. So I think this guy should tell us more about why we can't online shop.
It's very good. Very good.
He needs to get his shit together because this Ibrahim Patel's got a dumb – his reason was – and this is why I'm nervous about what they, you know, when we are allowed to do certain things, allowed to do other things. Excuse me, we are the people who put this constitution together. We are the people protected by this constitution. You don't allow us to do this and that and the other. When did all of us become slaves again? When did we all willingly put our shackles on ourselves?
When the vast majority of people of this country became apathetic to failure of the government to perform. And, you know, it's a sad situation because we do have such a legacy value, that such a real and genuine legacy value.
Now we can't go online. I can't buy.
If people had held the government accountable for their failures and been more kind of flexible with where they are.
Gord, it's not a South African thing. It's true for all countries. I mean, in America, they're complaining about the same thing. In In India, they're complaining about the same thing. In South Korea, they've complained about the same thing. You know, so all
it seems like governments are dicks in general.
Yes, and we don't learn. We keep looking to them to solve our problems. We're the dumb ones because we keep going, oh, there's a terrible thing happening. I know what we need. We need the thing that has never saved us from terrible things. Government.
No, but ordinary people need a viable alternative. And that's what we've lacked in terms of credible political opposition in this country, in terms of, political systems worldwide that can, because, you know, like democracy is highly fallible. But at the same time, what else do you have? Communism, monarchy,
benevolent
dictatorship.
No.
Like, what's a better idea? We're just choosing we got a bucket full of shit ideas, and we're taking the turd out that smells the least.
Yeah,
it's not like there's brilliant alternatives that we're just turning our back on.
Spot on. All right, listen.
I should be nominated. I should be elected king.
Yeah, and just on that.
King Gord Laws.
I'd vote for Gord.
You don't vote. You just pledge your allegiance.
You just have to swear your fealty to him.
Yeah,
and you become, instead of being a citizen, you become a subject. How do you like
that? Yes, and I will give my friends choice pieces of land as their fiefdom. And Gareth, you can be part of the tribunal. You can be my herald.
Thanks a lot. That's great.
Oh, Gord, can I get a royal title?
You can help Gareth and be his junior deputy herald. And you guys, you can still do your show as long as it's all about how great I am.
Can I tell you something?
My deeds.
You don't know. It's all about your deeds. We turn the show into the great deeds of Gord. So I've actually been painting. You talk about herald.
I saw that, dude. You rock at painting. Just another thing to hate you for being good at.
No, so it's something that I've got a ceiling in one of my rooms here at home, which is decorated with the coats of arms of, like, I don't know, close to 60 of my ancestors. And
God, that's nerdy, but also cool.
I know, I love it because it's for me. Nobody else even looks at the goddamn ceiling. They think it's just decorative. And then I know who each of those, because a coat of arms is an individual thing. It's not a family thing. People go,
I must get a coat of arms.
Where's my family crest? And you don't have a family crest, okay? Nobody has a family crest. If you have a coat of arms, it is registered at the Bureau of Heraldry. Otherwise, you don't have a coat of arms. You can't just go and look up your surname on the internet and take that one. It doesn't belong to you. So all of these are actual people who made me. So
I must immediately set about acquiring and having my own coat of arms.
You can do it, hey?
Draw it myself? No. Or does it have to be, like, approved by someone?
Well, you go to the Bureau of Heraldry. They're in Pretoria. They're an actual government department, and they designed our flag. They are responsible for things like the national emblems. They are responsible for the South African coat of arms, which is on all government communications. And they're a real non-government organization. Well, they're a government organization, but I suppose you could call them a non-profit state arm, and they will register in your name, Gord Laws. You can have your coat of arms, which you alone are allowed to use. It's your signature, and it counts as a legal signature on documents. So it needs to be issued by the Bureau of Heraldry.
So they design it for you. I at least say what I want in it?
Yeah, you can have input, and the important thing is that it's different to everyone else's, because if yours is too similar to someone else's, the whole idea of heraldry...
And mine will definitely be different than everyone else's. I'll have a penguin on one side and a hippo on the other.
If we were, since we were talking about medieval weapons earlier, if you were on the battlefield and I was carrying my shield and I was wearing my own arms... And my horse might even have been if I was rich.
And your legs, probably.
Yeah, but if I was wearing the coat of arms, Gordon Laws, then you would be able to identify me. So you'd know if I was on your side or you needed to kill me.
So if there was one dude that was just generally revered as being super nice, and, like, the people from the neighboring village were like, damn it, man, we have to go to war, and it really sucks because Jeff's from that village and he's great. you could put on nice guy Jeff with the good jokes who gives all the children sweet meats.
Yes.
And release it and set his catamites free. You could wear his shit, and then, like, people would just aim the catapults away from your side of the village.
Right, exactly, if you were good Jeff. But, I mean, most people didn't have it. You're called armigerous if you have a coat of arms. And It actually is a. It's
a great word.
Yeah, armigerous. So if you're an armigerous person, that's actually also the definition of a gentleman. You're only a gentleman if you have coat armor, so to speak. So you wouldn't just be one of the. You wouldn't be one of the rabble in
armor
in
with my own insignia. I need an official coat of arms. This is the kind of shit where if I had lottery money, I would start to take it seriously.
It costs, maybe 20-30 grand, and you can have it registered at the.
But I want the armor. I want like titanium.
Right. Yeah, well,
I want completely needless, but state of the art. I want them to take like. Kevlar and titanium and like bulletproof everything technology and make a night suit. It must weigh like the whole thing must weigh half a kilo. It must be bulletproof.
Yeah.
It must fit my rotund body. Mm-hmm. It must look dank as fuck. And it needs a place on the back where magnetically.
Like, you must look like Post Malone in that Circles video.
And instead of having like scabbards and sheaths, I want it magnetized at the back so that I just put my shovel on the back of it. It goes clink and it sits in place. Mm. And I'll have a shovel and a trident, and then out of the arms will shoot flame throwing plasma. And I'll go out like that whenever there's an official event. Like when it's a black tie thing, I'll arrive in my armor and I'll sit down at the table and I'll take my helmet off and I'll put it down in front of me. And I'll be like, what up, motherfucker?
Yeah, so I've been painting this stuff. I've been just putting together a couple of these things. And yesterday I actually sat for about 4 hours, and I was just having such fun. I was listening to music and, you know, sort of WhatsApping in between to whenever I heard a song that reminded me of a friend of mine, I'd take a screenshot of it and then I'd send it to them and say, hey, hope you're doing okay. Then I'd paint some more. It was so much fun, man. I'm actually, these are the kinds of things that I never get time for in normal hustle and bustle daily life. So I do want us to, if you found one little thing that's made you happy during lockdown, like be grateful for it. Let's not just complain about how shitty it is. You know, there's stuff that it's worth being a little bit excited about. And there's a gap there.
Did you see that to
be creative, to do stuff that you haven't had a chance to do.
Did you see that in Sweden just the other day, they created the fifth state of matter, Bose-Einstein condensate, and kept it stable for 6 minutes? That's what happens when shit is neither a gas, a solid, a liquid, nor a plasma, and is taken to a billionth of a degree above absolute zero. And then
this stuff was postulated by a scientist called Bose from India in 1920 something, and yes. Einstein, and they worked together. He wrote to Einstein and said, I've got this theory. And Einstein said, does this sound like a good theory? And the two of them were chatting to each other in letters, and they named this stuff the Bose-Einstein condensate, and they never actually managed to make it until very recently. So this, you're right.
Yeah,
this
is it needs to achieve a level of cold that is, as far as scientists believe, the coldest state that exists. Mm-hmm. Like anywhere in the universe, what we make is the coldest. And also it needs to be in a zero gravity or a very low gravity situation. And basically what happens is all of the atoms congeal and start behaving as one incredibly stable atom. And what they believe that it will be able to do it will be a far more effective way of measuring gravitational disruption and gravitational lensing, because this thing is so stable that anything that disrupts it can be measured.
Do you know how we define cold at those supercritical temperatures?
How do we define cold?
Cold is when – so the coldest point – that we can measure is obviously zero, absolute zero. And absolute zero is defined as when the helium atom stops moving completely. In other words, you know, what happens is if you have a whole bunch of atoms in a space together, if they are moving very little, that means they're solid. If they're moving a little bit more, they're liquid. If they're moving quite a lot, they're gas, right?
And then they become plasma when they're moving like bastards because they're so hot.
Yeah, so if you can get a bunch of helium atoms to condense into a liquid, which is actually called a supercritical liquid, and it actually climbs up walls.
That's dope.
Supercooled helium climbs up walls. If you put it in a beaker, it will actually climb up and out of the beaker. It's incredible.
That's very cool.
And then beyond that, you supposedly can get solid helium, although I don't know whether they've been able to make that in significant quantities. And then when you get to the point...
They have not. I can confirm that.
Okay. And when you get to the point where nothing moves, where all the atoms are in a tight lattice work, it's as solid as can be, and there's very little vibration, that is considered absolute zero.
Yeah, absolute zero is hypothesized to not actually be possible, but getting extremely close to it is kind of the quest. And absolute zero is zero on the Kelvin scale. How's this? Minus 459.67 degrees Fahrenheit and minus 273.15 degrees centigrade. Now, some people go, how can you get to minus temperatures like that? You know, like minus heat is the opposite of heat. But that is literally the absence of warmth.
Hmm. Yeah, it's the absence of movement, warmth, friction.
Because cold is not a thing, just like dark is not a thing. It's the absence of light. It's the absence of heat. So even at minus temperatures, there's still some warmth. Mm-hmm. Minus 273.15 degrees, almost minus 300 centigrade. And before shit just stops.
And if people want to know how difficult those conditions are to PA, I was fortunate to do some data capture at a super collider. And
so fortunate.
Yeah.
What a joy. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had floors of scientists working on creating these exact conditions and still not unable to do it in the place where we found the Higgs boson. So, that, you know, it's the smartest people with unlimited amounts of money.
Obviously, that's why you were there.
That's in CERN in Switzerland, right?
CERN, yeah.
Hadron Collider. I was just hanging out with the other smartest people in the world trying to solve for the Higgs boson particle. And when I was data capturing there, we worked on this whole Bose-Einstein situation.
Sia, you've gone quiet. Are you bored?
I think no, far from it. I'm just trying to figure out how you guys know all about this.
Nerd time. Nerd time with Garrett and Umbi and Gord. Sia will sit and not say a word as he listens to Nerd Time. It rhymed on paper, okay?
Can I show you something cool that I did yesterday to be in Nerd
Is it
Time?
Really, really nerdy.
Yeah, let me go and get it. Hold on. Give me a second. Just talk among yourselves while I'm away.
At this point, we forgot we had listeners and just talked some shit about our own interests.
So, no, Gord, you don't just lose the plot like that.
How was working at CERN, Umbi?
Yeah, it was very good.
What the hell were you doing there?
All right, here, do you want to see this? Look at this. Do you see this stuff?
It's a beaker of blue. You holding your hand. The first beaker. So, 100% pure blue.
No, so it's a blue liquid. There are about 300 mils of this blue liquid in here. Inside it, you can't probably see the detail, but it almost looks like sand, like white sand at the bottom. And then there's a copper wire inside. And what I did is I took an old silver ring that I found, and I dissolved it in nitric acid.
Of course you did.
And then, because I didn't know what percentage of it was actual silver. So I dissolved it in nitric acid, and then I put some copper in it, and the copper ate up what was left of the nitric acid. And then the copper also started to displace the silver. So now I've got all of this silver at the bottom of this beaker, and I'm going to smelt the silver into a little ingot.
It is terrifying to me that you had that so close at hand. You were like, I'm going to quickly go and grab this chemical experiment, and it took you 15 seconds. You didn't have to go into your vault, unlock a secure door, bring it. You just were like, hang on a sec, and it was less than 10 meters away from
you. And wait, what's an ingot?
It's like a little bar, like, you know, gold bar, but this would be a tiny one because it comes from one ring of silver.
So like a bean, like a bead of metal.
It'd be like a little bead of silver. All right. So I can hear by the sound of what's going on in the background here that we are joined by Linda. Hey, Linda, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Cool. Linda Reed is the head of data at Lightstone, and she's going to tell us about some consumer behavior trends that she spotted over lockdown. First of all, I hope your lockdown is going okay. You're surviving?
I am surviving. It's a bit tricky having a two-year-old who expects that if mommy's home, she's available. But other than that, I think I'm faring pretty well.
You're very brave. And being a data scientist with a two-year-old, that's like two of the things that I would least want in my life. That's why.
Rather me than you.
All right. So tell me quickly, Lightstone, you guys are a provider of comprehensive data analytics and systems. You talk about property, automotive, and business assets. And together with Tracker, you've actually analyzed the frequency of visits to shopping destinations across South Africa. So what have you picked up? What are people doing that is different in terms of their shopping now to the way that they were before?
Well, I guess the key takeaway is that people tend to shop where is convenient for them, depending on what it is that they're looking for. And if you're moving around your environment normally under non-lockdown conditions, then what is convenient for you may very well be what is closest to work, what is closest to your school that you're dropping your kid at, or what is closest to home. And under normal conditions, most of us show behaviors where we go to a lot of different shopping centers, depending on what is convenient for us. Under lockdown conditions, though, we're mostly contained to home, except for essential services and those who are being naughty. And that means that we are typically going to different shopping centers now than we were before.
So where did we went to the big malls before, or did we go to small shopping centers before? Let's figure that out.
Bit of a spread across all of them. There is a need for the big malls for certain things. People go there as destination and with destination type of shopping behavior. If you want to do a lot of shopping, if you're looking for entertainment, if you want to go to nice restaurants and have a choice there, people would go there. Convenience centers tends to be more when you're looking just to pop in and buy the goods that you're looking for, a quicker kind of buy when you're very targeted and you know what you want. And lockdown conditions, we're seeing that people are going to the bigger malls a lot less because the type of thing that drives you to the mall is browsing, multiple purchases and so on. And that doesn't happen under lockdown necessarily.
Now, I hate to say it, but that does seem kind of obvious. Are there any unobvious things that you've picked up about our behavior during lockdown?
Yeah, so in terms of shopping or just in terms of general behavior on
the planet? Yeah, I mean, if it was Tracker that you were talking to, it could be the kinds of places people prefer to go, maybe from a density point of view. Are there things that people are doing that are extraordinary to the way that they might have mapped their destinations and planned? I mean, most people obviously aren't going out at all, and they're trying to limit to the smallest fraction of their time the number of visits they have to do. But are there things that are going on that have surprised you?
So I guess with hindsight, all of it seems like it could be predictable. But until you actually look at the data, you don't see how those trends are mapping out. One of the things that is interesting to us is how convenient shopping has actually become. In pre-lockdown times, you get people who would just really just pop in about 6 or 7 times a week to go and do their shopping because that's how convenient it is for us. Mm. Under lockdown conditions, of course, we're trying to limit our exposure to other people, and the shopping centers is where you get a lot of that exposure at the moment. So people are tending to shop a lot less frequently, and therefore their purchases are a lot bigger at the times that they do go. We're also seeing that there are fewer vehicles from the household that are going to the shopping center. So whereas before, both or all three vehicles that belong to a household would have popped out to the shops. Now we're seeing many more of those vehicles not shopping at all, and the shopping trips being done by fewer of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously, when it comes to spending, I don't know whether you've got data yet on how much people are spending, but I think there'll probably be a massive decline during and after this COVID-19 situation, this lockdown situation, because people are just not going to have much money. Have you got any data on that yet?
No, we haven't. With the movement data that we use here, it's very difficult to come to those kinds of conclusions. I'm very sure that is the case, though, particularly now that we're 5 weeks in and really crunch time is starting to happen. I expect that people have been trying to rationalize their grocery spend over the last few weeks. One thing that and this is not based on data, it's just based on logic, is that when you're buying more in batches, you're better able to get a grip on how much you're spending on groceries, how much wastage there was before, and so on. And so you're much more likely to be able to rationalize your grocery spend. But people are going to be coming under a lot more financial tightness as, for example, employers reduce salaries, or they're having to duplicate spend, like sending a child, paying for a child to go to school at the same time as covering their care by other means and so on. So I think that rationalizing will definitely happen, and it's going to get more and more obvious as lockdown continues.
Just one last thing for people like me who don't like people anyway. Are there best and worst times to go to the shops? Like, when could I go to the shop and encounter the least people and have the least queue to deal with?
That's a brilliant question, Gareth. We've actually just recently developed a little app, which is actually available to the public for free. I can follow up with you with the address that they can find it at.
Sure.
And what we've done is we've put all of the information about a number of people at each shopping center. We can only do it at a shopping center basis, not at the ShopRite,
right,
but it's at the shopping center. And for the mall, you can actually look at, on a map, you can look at your area that you live, and you can see how popular each of the shopping centers is. So you can pick the shopping center that is closest to you that's also the least populated, and therefore your risk is probably lower.
Fantastic.
And then you can look at the shopping center and you can pick the hours that it's open that have fewest people in it. So it will help you to really pick the safest times to shop. For most shopping centers, it shows a trend where it's low from 8 to 9 and then goes up towards the middle of the day and down towards the end of the day. People are choosing to shop predominantly in the middle portion of the day. But actually, some of them are very different to that. So it's definitely worth using the app for the shopping centers that are in your area, so that you can pick the time to shop the safest.
I would have thought that most of the slobs and the people who take up a lot of space would have been shopping at like 1 in the afternoon, because, I mean, wouldn't be shopping then because they'd be eating. But that's obviously
the slobs.
Wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe they're doing both. You can multitask and do both at the same time.
Well, Linda, thank you very much. That's useful info. We'll also post all the information from Lightstone and from Linda this morning on cliffcentral.com, including a link to that app that if you want to download it, you can go and find. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning. This is really interesting stuff.
It's a pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
All right, cool. There's Linda Reed, who's the head of data at Lightstone, talking to us about some consumer behavior that we may or may not have taken into consideration. Interesting stuff. All right, Gord, are you going to go and make a coat of arms now, a suit of armor?
Jeez, now, there's a euphemism I haven't heard used before. I got to go make my morning coat of arms. It's a very personal question. My buddy, yeah, mine's going to have a penguin on one side and a hippo on the other side, both like, you know, whinnying, raising up on their back legs to, and then the inside shield will have like a cheeseburger, the M from the Metallica logo, a pair of titties, and a microphone. And
that's great. I love it.
I'll have to give a bit of thought as to my little motto. But my buddy Lewis posted something very funny. It was like, Karin's. Oh my God, there's so many people at the shops. It's disgusting. Also, Karin at the shop.
spot on. All right, well, we've got something exciting for you, and Gorda and I were just talking earlier with Mbulelo and Sia about how we feel like we need to do some grooming. I mean, I need a haircut. I spoke to someone who he actually owns a sorbet, Aki Anastasio. And you may know Aki, he's been on TV and radio in South Africa for a long time. He's also a bit of a tech guru. And Aki is the right guy to talk to about this because he's a very hairy man. And so he's also thinking along the lines that we are this morning about grooming. It's not just grooming for men, but for women too. And importantly, some of the things you should not try to do at home. I mean, Sia, I don't know about you. You've got all your products, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to do anything that will result in a burn.
No, hell no.
Emergency rooms already overwhelmed at hospitals. I don't want to add to that.
Definitely. I seriously would just buzz my hair off because it's irritating me so much, but I don't have clippers.
And you can't buy clippers yet because they're not an essential item. But as soon as they become essential items on Friday, then you're allowed to come buy them.
Can I buy a mop on Friday? Because I need one of those too, and they're apparently not essential either.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
God, we don't know.
What do I look like? The government communications and information.
You look like an oak who's informed.
Ah, well, you got it all wrong. All right, so let's talk to Aki Anastasio, who's a media personality sorbet fan, and we're going to talk about this in a series of three episodes called The Shower Diaries. that are presented by Sorbet Man, conversations with men who know how to help you keep your grooming game strong. Shower Diaries brought to you by Sorbet Man, helping you to keep that game strong, only on cliffcentral.com. Here's episode one with Aki. The coronavirus pandemic has meant that everything has changed. So while you can now wear your slippers to meetings, and you don't have to put up with that annoying coworker sitting next to you, there are some things that should stay the same. And grooming is one of them. Sorbet Man presents Shower Diaries. Conversations with men who know how to help you keep your stay-at-home grooming game strong. In this episode, media personality and Sorbet fan, Aki Anastasiou. Well, on the line with me is 702 Cape Talk CNBC Africa host and a highly ranked IT speaker, as well as somebody who I worked with for a while at Prime Media Broadcasting. Don't start laughing. He started off at 702 when he was just fresh out of school, and he's one of the most long-lived broadcasters in the business. He's also the go-to guy for Joburg's traffic, tech news, all kinds of info. And he's one of South Africa's favorite personalities. Aki Anastasiou, how are you?
How are you? Gareth, it is so good to see you. I mean, you and I have worked many years. I remember doing traffic on your show, on the breakfast show on 702. But really nice to see you again, my friend. You know, are you well?
Aks, it's okay. We can tell people we're friends. I don't think people would be surprised that I have any friends at all, but they'll be surprised to know that you're my friend.
It's just paid advertisement.
Yeah. So listen, Aks, the reason I wanted to talk to you, and we didn't have to have a reason, but I wanted to have a reason this time, is because we're all going through this lockdown together, and it's not the easiest time. And I was thinking, because you used to own a Sorbet Man, you now own two of the Sorbets, so you know that world, but you're also a big, hairy Greek man. And, you know, I was thinking about grooming during this time, which is something which is a very serious issue for some people.
What do you mean I'm hairy?
He just stood up and showed me his stomach, and it's completely hairless. How did you do that? It must have been a lawnmower.
No, listen, it's a bit hairy, but you know, you taught me a word many years ago, and I actually had to look it up in a dictionary because we didn't have the internet back then. But the word was hirsute.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a very hairy person, which is what I am.
Now, Aks.
And it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, many of us have. I mean, nobody likes. For example, I went to a Sorbet Man the other day. I'm not ashamed to admit it all. And it's become like a regular thing now every month. I go and I have them do the wax up my nose to pull the hairs out. Because I hate that feeling of having these hairs in my nose.
But Gareth, that is the whole thing. You know, I am very much into my grooming as you are. And you know, it's really frustrating that I can't do anything about it right now. But one just before lockdown, right?
Yeah.
But I can feel like my hair growing in all sorts of places, like the nostrils. I mean, you know what the worst part? Listen, watch this. Can you see?
Oh, please don't get so close to your camera.
No. You know what the scary part is? You know, I've been in a few of these Zoom conference calls, right? And the guys have got the camera angles all wrong, you know, so you
right
can like, see
nose.
Right up people's noses, right?
Yeah.
And you see how much hair people have in their noses, and you think,
and women even.
What are you doing, dude?
Women even.
Oh God, women as well. And then people like go like this to the side, and then you just see the hair sprouting out their ears.
Oh, you see,
like waxed out. It's like gross,
you
man.
Know, you're the perfect guy to talk to about this. With me, it's not so much vanity. I just don't like that feeling, and. A lot of guys and girls are completely unaware of it, so they don't even know that they need to sort out the hair in their ears, for example. You know, a lot of these older men, they become quite like untidy. You know what I mean? Unkempt.
Especially they're around the ears. You know, you just see the stuff coming out the ears. It's like it's really gross, but. You know, I've tried to, and don't try this at home. You know, I've got quite a few of these devices that you can do stuff on your own at home. And I once tried to do my eyebrows, and I miscalculated, and I shaved half my eyebrow off.
Oh my God.
So embarrassing. I had to like wait for weeks for it to grow back. So I'm not trying that again. But I've got those, you know, those things that you can do yourself stuff at home. But you know, you can't get behind your neck here. You know,
No,
you're
going
to attach it to a broomstick and it's dangerous,
and
man.
I would be very nervous. You can perhaps guide me on this, because when you used to own the Sorbet Man, and even now with the ladies' ones, that wax is a very special kind of wax. You can't just go and melt a candle in there and use that wax.
No, don't even think about trying it. Now, it's a very special wax, as you say. It's an olive oil-based wax, and they apply something on your skin, because if you put and you try and pull it off, you're going to tear the skin off as well. So it's very dangerous to try and do that stuff at home. So please, don't even try and attempt it. And also, don't try and attempt to cut your own hair. Because I don't know about you, but if you tried looking in front of a mirror and you know, it's like the opposite way, right? So I've seen some guys, you know, they've got these tutorials on YouTube where they got out their hair like this and then they try and cut it with the scissors. And I've tried it. It's a disaster. Don't do it.
No. And you know, we were joking on the show earlier this week about how my hair is getting very long. And I'm putting stuff in it just so that I can keep it styled. But I actually was wearing a cap this morning because I just couldn't have been bothered. And I can imagine with women, it's also with longer hair, it's a much bigger problem. Don't try to cut your own hair. Don't try to wax your own nose or ears. And then there are other things. I mean, some people's body grooming habits are influenced very much by who they lock down with. So maybe you think, well, you know, my girlfriend or my relatives can help me to sort this out. That's also not a good idea, because these people are not always professional.
Worst thing that you can do, because it's happened. You know, I once had my mom visiting, so I asked her to try and trim my hair, and she got it on the wrong setting. And instead of going to number 3 on the clipper, she went to like number 1. Oh. And it's just like,
you come out looking like
I was
a convict.
Out of the militants. Yeah, exactly. But you know, Gareth, these are nice things to talk about, because guys take grooming very seriously. But there are some things that you can do when you're at home. You know, so for example, what I have been doing, don't criticize me, okay? He's going to say something horrible. I know.
No.
But I've been
go ahead.
Doing stuff on my face, right? I've been moisturizing my face. I've been doing face masks. I've been doing face peels, for example. So I've been doing all those kind of things. And you know, the one thing guys tend to do, and I actually fell into the bad habit the first week into lockdown. You think, well, I'm not going to go out, and I don't have to put moisturizer on my face. This is the best time to get your skin back in its best state ever. And you need to do that moisturizer. You need to do that the masks, and you need to do that stuff on your skin, because it's a great time now. Your skin's relaxed. You can do it right now.
Well, hopefully this will make people appreciate. And Sia, I wanted you to be a part of this conversation, because you're actually very good about this. Sia does moisturize, and he luxuriates.
Oh, yeah.
And he puts on creams and masks. That's why he's got such fine, perfect, ageless skin, right? And it helps.
Moisturizing is my religion.
It helps that he's
dreadful.
It helps that he's in Durban at the moment, where he is able to have the climate that assists with this. We're about to go into winter, and it's dry as hell, and that's when your skin takes a huge knock.
Yeah, all of the old adages just really apply here and make sense. It's prevention is better than cure. So, and also compounded with the fact that you only have one body, so take care of it as well as you can for it to last as, you know, best as it can. So,
Sia, what do you do? What's your regimen to keep your skin so youthful?
So, Aki, we're definitely in the same boat then with a lot of face masks. It's one of my weekend routines, just because you have the downtime while you're at home as well. You can look like a freak to yourself or whoever you're at home with. I do that for a couple of hours. And then also, coming from a household of 3 older sisters and a mother, I guess I was taught from a young age that, you know, you can use several products and there's no shame in that at all. So I moisturize, I cleanse, and I tone daily as well.
But, you know, you guys are very lucky, hey? You know, being with my Greek heritage, you know, we're very hairy. The biggest problem I have is that monobrow. Can you see, like, it's like starting to grow back again. Can you see this? It's embarrassing, because you've got like
horrible
one eyebrow.
Yeah. Now, Ax, you do, however, have the olive skin, which is helpful, because that has a nice tone to it. I mean, people will be trying self-tan over this time. You've got to be really careful what you decide to do, because there aren't any people you can go to if things go wrong during lockdown.
Yeah.
You got to wait for Sorbet to open up again at the end of lockdown. And for some people, it might be too late.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things that guys like myself experience, you know, like my back's pretty hairy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to go for back waxes. And the problem is that you can't do it right now. Mm-hmm. And I like, there's going to be such a bottleneck of guys when this lockdown ends for like back waxes and that sort of thing. I haven't tried the other one, you know, further down. It's like, it scares me too much, you know. Yeah, you know, you're joking, but you know, back crack and sack is popular.
Oh yeah, and axe.
I think Damon actually did it once. Hey?
He did. You know, Damon. He definitely did. No, and he gave us a very in-depth experience of it in his own words. But Aki, you know, we've got these video calls and these video conferences and Zoom, and you mentioned this earlier, how people don't realize they've got a bad angle and the camera shoots right up their nose. But also, people, you need to be presentable. You need to shave. You need to look clean. You need to look decent. You need to have your hair in a decent state. Because a friend of mine was saying he went on a Zoom call with all of his usual office colleagues the other day, and his boss was on, and usually she's this extremely well-groomed, very presentable, very power-dressy kind of person. And she was on this call, and she was wearing like this lacy top, and he said he kind of felt like he lost a little bit of respect for her.
Oh, well, no. I'm glad you raised the thing about Zoom calls, because I was actually having a discussion, and I've had several of these Zoom calls, and you know, you have to maintain a certain level of etiquette and professionalism, right? You know, you're still at work, and you know, I've seen guys that haven't shaved for 5 days. It looks like they've just crawled out of bed, and women as well. But you know, you are on a professional front. You know, man, look good. Don't come unshaved and put some gel in your hair. Don't look like you've just crawled out of bed.
And you know,
I'm actually glad you raised that, because nobody knows, right, Gareth and Sia, because this is a new world for us. So nobody's defined the rules and the etiquette of the Zoom calls.
And Ax, it could last longer than lockdown. You know, this might be the new normal. And then this is how people meet with each other for the first time. And that first impression makes a huge difference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I couldn't agree with you more. So I think that, you know, don't take it for granted that, okay, so we can't all go and visit our barbers and our sorbet mans during this period. But you know what? There's certain things that you can do to keep looking after yourself. You know, if you're on a Zoom call, just because you're at home and there's nobody around you, put some gel in your hair, for goodness sake. Don't look like an animal.
Don't look like an animal. Thank you. Like an animal. So, all right, we've got to moisturize. Don't try to wax yourself. Don't try to cut your own hair. There are probably a lot of things that people can wait for, but you trim your nails. You can do that. You don't need to go for a professional manicure. You know, you can keep your nails nice and short and tidy and clean up and make sure you scrub in the shower and that kind of thing.
No, absolutely. Look, you got to do when you're in the shower. Now, in my shower, I've got all the stuff that I need to do, right?
Yeah.
So I've got my body wash in the shower. I've got my shampoo. And let me tell you, a lot of guys, what they're doing right now is they're skipping on the conditioner on their hair. And you're going to damage your hair if you don't add that conditioner when you're in the shower. So, yeah, do your face wash, for example. Exfoliation is important, because once you don't exfoliate, the skin buildup and the oil buildup on your skin gets really quite bad. What you land up doing is you land up standing in front of the mirror and trying to pop zits.
Oh.
And it's bad for your skin, guys. You mustn't do that sort of thing. So, yeah,
you
do
are the moisturizer today, Aki. I love it.
It's true. Because, you know, this. Let me tell you that men's grooming is the fastest growing industry in the beauty industry in the world. And women appreciated in their partners.
Sure.
Guys appreciated in their boyfriends. So it's important to look good.
And Ax, you shouldn't necessarily use products that your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend uses. You should make sure that they're products that work for you.
Yeah.
That's important, because you know, first, a lot of women's products are not necessarily geared to men, and vice versa.
You see, this is the thing. You know, guys walk into a sorbet man, for example, or they walk into their local pharmacy and they see, oh, look, there's an exfoliator or there's a skin moisturizer. Your skin is different to everybody else's skin. So get it looked at by a professional. Let them work out what kind of skin type you are and let them recommend you what you think, because you might not have enough moisture in your skin. Like, I'm Mediterranean descent, so I've got a semi-oily to dry skin.
Right.
And it's different to other guy skins of other different cultures. I might have blackheads, for example. You need to deal with the blackheads. So everybody's skin is different. Get to a professional. Ask them to give you the right stuff to use on your skin. And for God's sake, don't use your partner's skin stuff, because it could be the complete opposite for your skin type. Not only that, you get into such shit doing that.
Absolutely. Like,
about a week later, you go, have you been using my exfoliation? It's not for you. You know, you're like, get into trouble, man. You don't want to.
Are you speaking from experience?
But you're already in a confined space in lockdown. The last thing
don't
you want
to give
argue
her
is
reasons
about
to fight with used, you. Yeah.
Exactly. Who used whose products? Gosh.
Oh, Aki, this has been very helpful. I'm sure that we'll all look a little more presentable. Do you dress up for Zoom calls and things, or do you just keep it as
what
plain
do you
as
possible?
Well, yeah, you're wearing a black shirt there, a black T-shirt. No, you
look
very
at the background. It's like star background.
But Aki, you know, I have noticed, I mean, I've known you a long time. I have noticed that since you've been involved in Sorbet, you've tidied up. You're looking very presentable, very fresh. You've suddenly got lots of attention from women that you never used to have. I've noticed this.
Yeah, it has. But I'm alone in lockdown. So it's not helping much, is it? No, kidding. No, the thing is that you actually take a lot of pride in your appearance. Mm. And when you feel good, when you look good, you feel good. You know, there's a psychological thing to looking good and feeling good. And don't be afraid, guys, to spend and invest in yourself. And don't think that, you know, don't think that you can buy a cheap moisturizer and it's going to do the same job as an expensive moisturizer. There's a big difference. You know, invest what you can afford in yourself. Look good. Hey, you know, there's even the shampoo that I use. You know, like my hair is gray. Can you see it? Like
silver.
But that pepper look. But, you know, to get the silver look, there's a special shampoo that you get. It's like a purpley shampoo. It's got a little bit of dye. So I rub it in my hair, so I get the George Clooney look. Oh, so there's a lot of tips and tricks that you can use, guys.
Okay. See, there's a way you can. And when we get out of this lockdown eventually, then it's probably good to see the professionals and they can help you get on track. But in the meantime, just try to keep it all, you know, maintain. Just maintain.
Yeah. And there's basic stuff guys can have, you know. You think that only ladies should own a file. Guys, you must own a file. You know, you can file your nails when you have a gap during the day. Mm. Nails are smooth because when you cut them yourself, it's not. And get a cuticle pusher. Push those cuticles back. It's gross to have those kind of things. Yeah. Ladies like things that, you know, you look after your nails. You can even buy a buffer. Buff your nails.
See, there we go.
Do you buff your nails, guys?
Show me your
little things
your
that make
there,
a big difference.
Beautiful.
Look, they're not – can you see they're shiny a bit?
Yes.
I don't know. Awesome. Some people say that the shine suit me, but – I like it. I like my nails buffed.
Ah, okay, that's fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, listen, Ux, thank you very much. I hope we'll see you soon and keep safe during lockdown.
Yes.
Are you going into the office or are you stuck at home?
No, I'm stuck at home. I've been going, doing my shopping occasionally, mm-hmm. but I've been stuck at home and it's amazing. It's forced us a lot to look inward towards ourselves, you know, do a lot of introspection, and play with different technologies because I think that this is going to be the new normal.
Well, that's a whole other discussion. I mean, I could talk to you for hours and hours about tech, and we will find an excuse to do that. Ux,
yes,
in the meantime,
we should.
Look after yourself, and thank you so much for talking to us. Sorbet Man, helping you keep your grooming game strong.
Only on CliffCentral.com.
Thanks for listening to CliffCentral.com. Podcasts of all our shows are always available on the website, the Cliff Central app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.